You're tuned in to the Grit and Grow podcast. Welcome back to the Grit and Grow podcast, here today to help us answer the question, how does a minority entrepreneur find success in the frozen dessert industry? He's founder and CEO of Frosttail's Korean Dessert House in Gilbert, Arizona. Albert Suh, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome,
thank you,
Albert.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
It's awesome having you here.
Yeah, we're excited.
So you've got quite a background. You've been in dry cleaning, and then you're a Taekwondo instructor, I understand.
Correct.
You've got a lot of cool experiences leading up to Frosttail's.
Yes, I've been in a small business for a long time. Technically, the dry cleaning business since '97, and then when I came out to Arizona for college, I decided to open one up during my college years, just because that's what I knew how to do, and I needed money, so I figured that's the best thing to do.
So we met, so Albert was my dry cleaner for years and years, and I remember the stories that you would tell me about, man, I've been thinking about doing this. I have this idea in the back of my mind. When I'm ready, I'm going to tell you more. And I'd keep coming back, and I wanted to hear more and more, and it was just unfolding over time. And years went by until you finally were like, this is what I'm getting ready to do. I'm going to roll out this custom brand new business. No one's ever seen anything like it in the United States. And tell us a little bit more about your concept.
Yeah. So the idea came in college in 2007. I said I wouldn't do it unless I had money to throw around. It does take a lot of money to do a new startup, branding, marketing. There's a lot involved. And then about 2018 is when I started to fully implement that I'm ready for it. Then obviously COVID happened, so that kind of delayed it. However, I still pushed through it. And then, in 2022 is when I opened it in October.
I want to know the genesis of the idea though. So what were you doing? Where were you? Like, how did this idea come to you?
Okay. So being born a current American, I'm proud of my heritage, but I will say I was not proud to be a Korean up until the 2002 World Cup. So the longest time, I considered myself an American, which I am, but I didn't like Koreans. I didn't like Asians. I was white, right? I like wearing Abercrombie and Fitch, wearing a North Face backpack, right? J. Crew, that was my thing.
Yeah.
After the World Cup, I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, that's my country. On the World Cup, the largest stage for soccer. Then I started to understand my culture. I started to appreciate it more. And that's when I go, you know, for all those years that I've hated on my country, I should probably pay it back. So then in college, I was figuring out what I can do, maybe do this type of dish or that type of dish. But I also had to take into consideration where I'm going to find employees, how is it going to be training. I took everything into consideration. So I would say one, restaurant, not doing it, right? Too many people's involved and too many variables to go wrong as far as a restaurant business, and it's expensive. Then the dessert business, which is bingsu, which is the biggest dessert in Korea. So here we have ice cream.
Bingsu.
Bingsu, yes. It's a Korean snow dessert. So I go, wow, that would probably be my best route of, you know, paying back to Korea. And so I was trying to figure out what's the best way, what's the best of both cultures, of American culture, Korean culture, make it easy on my employees, just a lot of things going at it. So probably towards my, I would say my last semester of college is when I wanted to give it a go. But then I realized, I really can't. If I want to fully do it correctly, you can't kind of half-ass it. You have to do it. You're going to do it correctly. So I still have the notes from them in college. I found it probably like 5 years ago.
That's awesome.
From 2007?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So I jot everything down and it was cool. I actually, in 2007, I worked at Starbucks for 7 weeks to understand their business concept, because I firmly believe they still have a great business model. As much as people hate on Starbucks. Where do you go?
I don't hate on Starbucks. I still go there a lot.
It's a comfort thing. Right? You know what you're going to get. Yep. You know what to get. There's something for everyone.
Yep.
You don't have to like coffee to go there. You can get a pastry. You can get water.
And it's an experience. Yeah. You know, people know you.
Exactly. So I was, how can I implement that into a Korean style?
I feel like you've done that.
Yep. So that thing.
I've been to Albert's place. I've been to Frosttail's. I've tried the bingsu. It is amazing. It's unlike anything I've ever had here as far as like American desserts, ice cream. We're big ice cream people, but nothing like what you've come up with.
And the snow is actually yogurt, right?
Traditional bingsu was shaved ice. And then they did milk snow. And then for me, how can I make it healthier? I have yogurt powder from Korea.
And yummier.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes. So healthy, yummy. So that is our most popular. I call it a base. So yogurt base. But we also do a vanilla snow as well as a chocolate snow. And then you can add different sauces, right? And all our sauces are from Korea as well. Mm-hmm. We have caramel, chocolate, citron, which is like a lemon. We have mango, strawberry, green grape, and grapefruit. So we have 7 different sauces you can add. And then the fruits you can add, we have blueberries, cherries, mangoes, pineapples, and strawberries. Those are not from Korea. Those are either from the US or Mexico.
Okay.
But they're all organic. So everything is top of the line. So that's our bingsu. That's our most popular item.
You have a whole series of drinks as well, sodas. And
correct.
I think you had me sample a soda. I was there for like hours one day and was like, I was at a sugar rush by the time
You can get trapped.
But I didn't want to leave. It wasn't a trap. It was like, I actually have to go now. I have to go. I can't have another item here. Yeah. It was so good though.
We make Korean coffee drinks. We make Korean. They've been really popular. Now that I'm very proud of what we can push out, the coffees are very popular. Mm-hmm. The other day, family in town for a wedding from the South, I think like Louisiana or Mississippi. One person got coffee. Another person came. Hey, can I get the same thing? Another member of the family. Can I get that coffee too?
So
I have 4 cups of coffee. Coffee. We have frappuccinos using same thing, Korean ingredients. Mm-hmm. The sodas are very popular. We did events at ASU Poly where we'd make 400 sodas at a time. So that was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
And then we also have non-carbonated drinks and also hot drinks. So literally just like Starbucks, whatever
you've
you
got
crave,
something.
We got something for everyone. And then on top of that, we also have Korean chips. We have Korean noodles, Korean baked goods.
And these are all like imported snacks,
correct?
Right? Like
yeah.
Different things.
Everything is from Korea. Literally everything. Even our bottled water from Korea.
Thank you for that, by the way.
It is good.
It is very good.
So I won't substitute anything that I can get my hands on. I will make sure it's from Korea. Right? My shop says Korean Dessert House. A lot of Asian restaurants, Asian businesses will mix Japanese and Korean culture and Chinese. Yep. Not with me. If it's not from Korea, I'm not going to carry it.
That's cool.
And so tell our listeners how you accomplish that, what you actually do, the lengths you go to make sure that this is the case.
So it is hard. I'm dealing with these big companies, right? These are the biggest of big companies in Korea. I'm the small fish in the sea. I have a way with words. I'm able to massage them, give them my pitch on what I'm trying to do. A lot of the stuff or a majority of the stuff that you see in my store will be from grocery stores. You can't get it at a convenience store or a Walgreens. So I told them this is a concept that I want to put out. Why not have it be like a convenience store in America selling individual items? And I like that idea. They gave me a shot. Next thing you know, I'm buying more and more product. Now they realize I'm a revenue stream for them. So, and then perfect example, one of the items that I wanted to carry was all in Korean. I told them, in order for me to carry it, it has to be in English. 6 months later, hey, we have that product in English now. Do you want to carry it? Yeah. that's awesome. Been a hot item right now. So
that's good. And what is that?
So it's a sour candy.
Okay.
American culture, we love sour stuff.
We do.
Even though we hate it, we love it. Right? Mm-hmm. We all squint, but we like it. So I carry it and they've been, flying off the shelf.
So Albert, you're second generation Korean. Is that right?
Yeah, my parents came over here and then I was born here. So
okay.
Yeah.
And your whole family worked together then in the dry cleaning business?
Correct. So in New Jersey, that's where I grew up. That's where the dry cleaning business was. I would go work there before school and after school. That's why I knew the business. Mm-hmm. Got to college, started my own, told my parents to sell theirs to come here. Obviously, I'm an only child.
Gotcha.
And they want to be closer to me. So technically, they're working for me for the last decade and a half. Or so. So I was paying them on payroll.
So how do you go from this entirely service-based business. Like, yes, there's customers involved, but there's really not, there's really no product per se. I mean, there's some service-based product that you had, like the lockers and things like that. But to go from this entirely service-based business to now you're in the business of fun, right? And providing some sort of, you know, entertainment, so to speak, to bring joy to people. Like, are you finding that fulfillment in that as well?
It's more fulfillment than I thought.
Okay.
So originally I just was trying to introduce culture to Gilbert, to the non-Asians or people that have never had bingsu before. But when I see the little kid or even the parents, one bite in and they're just blown away. Or some profanity saying this is the most amazing, whatever, right?
Yeah.
That brings a lot more enjoyment. And no disrespect to my dry cleaning business. I loved it too. I have great customers and they still reach out to me. They visit my shop as well.
Mm-hmm. We miss you.
I hear that often. I see reviews that will say that they miss me. it's a different business, right? And it was definitely more than I calculated. I thought it's just another business, no big deal.
But there's so many details. Mm-hmm. So just kind of moving into the concept aspect, this segment of our show, we wanted to kind of just discuss taking this concept from just the concept to bring it to reality. And now you've got a brand and a product from scratch.
Correct.
Can I ask a question before what I would like to understand is how did the dry cleaning business, that experience, how has that informed how you're going about building Frosttails?
That's good.
Like, you know, because you had talked to us previously about basically being intentional about taking your time before trying to launch into a business, building up a capital base, making sure you have the cash to make it work. So maybe talk a little bit about that first, and then we can definitely drill down into the Frosttails concept, which is awesome. How did being the owner of a dry cleaning business prepare you for what you're doing now?
So with any business, I've always said, if it's a product or a service or whatever, customer service is number one. Perfect example is food business. You can have the shittiest food, but if you have a great experience, they're going to come back. Perfect example is Asian business. Great food, but shitty service, right? People don't want to go back. Because at the end of the day, and especially in American culture, we love our experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's what I look at. Dry cleaning too. I realized people didn't come for the product. I mean, yes, our product was great and everything, but they liked the fact that they can talk to me about whatever they're going on in their life.
You made it personal.
Correct. And so
there was a connection there that, I mean, obviously we still have it. We still have it going today.
Yep. Correct. So same thing with Starbucks. That's where I learn, right? Yes, you're getting a cup of coffee. My first thing that I learn is the interaction is important, because out of their house, their first interaction with someone would be your barista, right? You can make or break someone's day. Just even saying, hello, how are you? Simple thing like that will get someone to react. Wait, did you just ask me how my day is? I get that too at my dry cleaners and Frosttails. I've had people just look at me like, you just asked me how I'm doing?
They were surprised by you asking the
correct
question?
Wow. Because we're so glued to our phone.
We
don't talk to people. So that got me ready for from dry cleaners to Frosttails, was the fact that it's kind of the same thing. I wanted to create that experience, but now I was providing something edible, something that was a bigger audience, right? Dry cleaning is a very niche business, especially the concept that I had. You had to have some disposable income to be a customer.
Yep.
Whereas my dessert, everyone loves dessert. So that was what also intrigued me, going from dry cleaning to that, is I was able to grow the audience, right? Reach out to more people. Because at the end of the day, my goal is to give people a good experience. And that's what I wanted to do as far as Frosttails, is to provide a good experience, bring some culture. But yeah, so the dry cleaners did prepare me not only monetarily to get into Frosttails, but whatever I did there as far as building a fan base, that's what I was able to do with this new business as well. And that's why I believe Starbucks, Dutch Bros, Chick-fil-A, they all do well. In-N-Out is because they build a fan base. You build passionate customers, they're going to keep coming back. Same with the dry cleaners. I sold it almost 2 years ago. I still have people message me, right? Or even Jay, right? He goes, I miss, it's been 2 years, right? At the end of the day, you just think, oh, you're just cleaning my clothes. But it was more than just cleaning your clothes.
Yeah.
So even with the dessert, people love dessert, but they love the fact that they can talk to me about what's going on. If you read any reviews on Google or Yelp, it is very personal too, even at Frost House. And we do maintain a 5-star rating.
Yes, you do. That's great. So, congrats on that. It's amazing.
Thank
and it's
you.
Hard to do, especially in food service of any kind. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always going to be somebody that's not happy, and I didn't see anybody that was.
Yeah.
So that wasn't happy, I should say. Everybody was happy. So one of the questions I had was, again, like going back to concept to reality, how did you choose your location at your, because you're located at the Verde complex at Cooley Station in Gilbert.
Correct.
So how did you choose this location?
So it was not my first location. It was actually across from my dry cleaners, which would have been at Gilbert and Queen Creek.
Oh, okay.
That was my, I had a lease signed and everything, a deposit. And then COVID threw everything until tailspin. So everything happens for a reason. And then I was looking, and a lot of people didn't give me a chance. It was very hard.
Hmm.
I wanted to be in downtown Gilbert. That's where the hotspot is. I got denied. One developer pushed me around for a year and then eventually said, no, we're not interested. And I get it. It's a new startup. Startups are very hard. They all want to go with the franchise. It's established. That's why you see all the new developments with all the franchise. They have the deep pockets. It's a proven method, less risk. So that's, it was hard.
Depending on who the franchisees
are. Correct. But generally,
not all of them have deep pockets.
No, but generally what happens if they don't, then the franchisor takes over.
Right.
And so then they're okay with it. Because there's a corporate back.
Yeah, the corporate will end up taking that restaurant over. Yeah.
Whereas mine, if I go belly up, then it's vacant.
Right.
And then they got to find another tenant, and then it's a whole, got to do it all over again. But thanks to Verde Cooley Station, the ownership, Norm Brody, luckily he knew what Binksy was. I mentioned him the idea. He was in love with it. And so he gave me an opportunity.
Hmm.
And just, yeah.
So it was the concept, it was the Korean
dessert.
Dessert. Correct. Concept that was not attractive enough, apparently.
Yes and no.
Okay.
No, but. It's not.
I don't see how. I don't see how that would be. But
it's not. It's going outside the box.
He's just saying, like, if there was a franchise backing the Korean dessert, then it would have had maybe.
And you were starting it up, so yeah.
So maybe, you know, 5 years from now, if I have multiple stores, I'm sure they'll be. Hey, can you put your concept in there?
Yeah.
But being a startup, it's not right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So Norm Brody over at Verde Cooley Station, I gave him my pitch. He was happy. He was on board. And that's kind of how I chose that spot. I did choose it also because of the amphitheater where there's live music. You can perform. There's a stage. And my vision was that we'll have performances there and live music.
And this you just saw come to fruition.
Correct. So we've done a lot of events there. A lot of K-pop events. K-pop is very hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have vendors that sell K-pop merchandise. We have K-pop dance groups performing on stage. And then the last couple months, we've been doing some live music with local bands in Gilbert. We're talking kids
in
middle school and high school kids to give them a platform to play music, right?
That's
music's
awesome.
Going by the wayside. I was a product of music. I played piano, violin, guitar. Mm-hmm. Yes, very Asian. I love music, right? I mean, I think that's great for the kids, but it's kind of getting kicked to the curb. And so I was reached out by one of the band members' mom, kind of, you know, we started talking, and then the music teacher got involved and, hey, let's put on a performance. And I said, cool, you know? And so that's kind of how it
came
to fruition.
That's really cool.
So I love giving back to the community. My dry cleaners, I used to donate to the local schools for Taylor Unified School District, especially Perry High School. Perry High School is very popular right now because of Brock Purdy.
Yep.
I did see him on the sidelines. I donated just enough money to be on the sidelines when he was at playing football.
Awesome.
So I got to see him grow up. And
that's
so
really cool.
That's what I like to do with businesses. So this business hasn't gone there for me to donate a ton of money yet, but I will get there eventually. But for now, what I can do is offer my establishment, you know, the opportunity for such events.
Yeah. And going back to the music thing real quick though, there's, you know, Gilbert's been in the news a lot lately, the Gilbert Goons, all that kind of thing. I think it's really cool that you're providing this venue, this outlet for, especially on the weekends, right? Because that's when kids are going out and,
correct,
trouble can generally happen. It can happen on any day of the week, but especially sure. weekends. So I just think that's really, really neat that you're fostering that.
I am. We're all a kid inside still.
Yep.
We know how hard it was. It's getting harder. And like you said, the Gilbert goons and, if you're trying to not cause trouble, you got to be around, music or a hobby.
Yeah.
Right. And the music is a hobby for them. And the shopping center is a great area. We're in between Higley High School and Williamsfield High School and also ASU Poly. Right. So we got tons of kids, right, coming around.
That's so great.
We'd much rather have them go watch music than go hang out at some house and you know what they're doing.
Yep.
So this is my way of, hey, if you got a band, if you want to perform, we'll make it a thing. So that's kind of, hopefully grow some there, but yes.
And so Frosttales is a sponsor of these.
Correct.
Concert nights. Okay. Yes. Very cool.
So,
is there like an age cap on these or?
I think it's high school.
It's just through high school?
Yeah, just through high school.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You know?
So the last time you did this was, it was just this past Saturday night?
Correct. It was this past Saturday night.
And how many bands did you, would you say came out?
We had five bands.
Five bands.
We did have a lineup. The first one, we had two bands.
Okay.
And then this one we had five.
Five bands. Correct. So a couple hours or so?
Yeah. So from 4 to 8:30.
And is everybody in your complex on board with this?
Yes and no. It's just music.
Yeah. It's an amphitheater.
It's a healthy event for kids. I mean,
And sure, some music, you might not like it. I might not like it either.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm doing it for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not talking these adults, right? We're talking kids.
Yeah.
Right. So like you said, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's harder for kids. So you're taking away from them to play music. They play in the garage or the living room. I mean, where else do you have a place to play in public? Not in a parking lot, in an amphitheater with lights.
Or to test it, just to test the whole, your songs, test your audience, test everybody.
Yeah. And you don't have to pay for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm providing you an area, a safe space. With grass. And then, you can eat at the local restaurants that are in the shopping center. Grab dessert, grab water, grab snacks, right?
That's so great.
So it's a win-win for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It helps business, brings more awareness, gets kids off the streets. I mean,
what's not to like about that?
I know.
Where else can you find a venue like that? Not even downtown Gilbert.
I've never heard of that before.
It's kind of ironic though, that it's the bar that's complaining, right? It's the bar. It's kind of ironic.
There is some irony in that, I would have to say.
I know. One of my customers said that it is ironic how of all the businesses, it's a bar.
The bar is over there. I'm afraid you're just too darn loud.
Yeah. if it was every day, it'd be different. But it's once a month maybe.
Well, yeah, that's...
Come
on, people.
Yeah, I know. But can't make everyone happy.
No.
What are you going to do?
Can't please everyone all the time.
You can't.
Sure.
You can't.
But you definitely are pleasing people at Frosttales. And so Bingsu is your... Did I say that correctly?
Bing.
Yeah, Bingsu. Bingsu. Is your primary...
Correct.
...menu item. But you also offer other Korean-specific food items and things that people can actually maybe find and purchase...
Correct.
At your place.
Yeah. So like we said earlier, drinks, right? Any drink you can think of, if you want caffeine, not caffeine, sodas, not carbonated, hot teas, awesome. Hot coffees, snacks such as there's a Fuego chip. There's a, what else is there? Sour cream and onion. I mean, all American stuff, but Korean style. So it's much healthier, much cleaner, not oily.
Hmm.
We even have Korean sun chips.
They're
very popular. Yep.
Not had those.
Garlic baguette is the flavor.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's really good. another popular mine is a honey butter chip.
Ooh,
I call it a movie theater in a bag.
Okay.
Three things I like very much, all in one bag.
And then we have noodles. Our most popular is Bulldog. Bulldog is all over TikTok. I'll have so many kids come in, their eyes get big. I'm like, you have Bulldog? I'm like, yeah. And we've had them for a long time. And it's particularly the one, it's a carbonara. It's like pink. I don't know why, but it's popular over TikTok. And then lately it's been trending as kimchi. I don't know if you guys heard of kimchi.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fermented cabbage. So we make that in-house and we sell a lot of it. And even just yesterday, I think she's probably in elementary or middle school. She's like, you have kimchi? And I'm like, yeah. Have you had it? She's like, no. How do you know it? She's like, TikTok.
I'm like, TikTok. Oh my gosh.
Of course.
Yeah, TikTok. So kimchi's a thing, you know?
Unbelievable.
Awesome. Yeah. And so Frost Tales. So I get the impression that maybe you haven't fully reached the crescendo yet, or the, you know, where you really want to go with this dream. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So I've been rolling out in stages. I don't put everything all together at once to keep people coming back. Right. It's like Starbucks when then you have pumpkin spice for, you know, the fall season. So yes, our name Frost Tail is not because of a dog. It's because
I never thought of that.
Well, I've had people reach out to me like, is this a dog shop? It's like, no, it's not a dog shop.
I just remember that show. Remember that it was like a cartoon from the 80s. It was called like Shirt Tales, I think. Remember that one? I just think about that one. I must be old. I don't know. I guess I'm old or I watched too much TV when I was a kid. Maybe both.
We're all getting old.
Frost and cocktails. So you combine the words and it becomes Frost Tales.
Frost Tales.
Yeah. Yep. So yes, our next stage in business is to introduce alcohol. As a business owner, as a business mindset, yes, alcohol makes money. Mm-hmm. So that is why eventually we will be adding alcohol. But like you would guess, it would have to be Korean alcohol.
Yep.
Soju, which I would just simplify it. It's Korean vodka.
Okay.
Right. So in Korea.
So these are Korean cocktails.
Yes. I will be making Korean cocktails. Same thing. So they don't make those in Korea, but I will be making them. And I've tried it. I've taste tested it. It's gotten great feedback.
You may have to expand here like shortly, right? So if you add this, right, you're going to need more space.
Oh, well, you just sit on the grass.
and are these taste tests impromptu? Can we know when the next, you know?
You guys are more than welcome to come by.
Off book.
I love that
taste
idea.
Test is coming up. Yes. That happen to show up.
We can even be anonymous taste testers.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to be named. Come.
The only taste testers are people that I know.
Okay.
Because technically, right, I don't have a license. Right.
Of course.
So it's my
friends. It's just a house party.
Yeah.
It's just a house party.
Just don't call the cops.
Okay. Promise. It won't happen.
So even with that, so soju has a very popular alcoholic beverage. I will be introducing something different. I like to do different. Unique items. Mm-hmm. I don't like to carry stuff that you just can buy at your grocery or local Korean grocery store. I don't know if you noticed. So this is my sweatshirt.
I was going to ask you about that next.
So it's kore, which is a whale.
Okay.
It's from Jeju Island, which is like Hawaii. It's a very popular, everything in Jeju is the top notch. So we have Jeju orange juice in our store, which is top notch. This is from Jeju Island as well.
This is phenomenal, by the way.
So they use this water to make soju. So it is very...
This is Dr. Yu.
Dr. Yu, yes.
Right, okay. Are these companies related?
They are not related.
No, okay.
But yes, Korea is very cheesy on their names. Dr. Yu.
Dr. Yu.
We have a chocolate cake called Oh Yes.
Oh Yes.
Yeah. So Korea needs to work on their marketing, but you know, it is what it is. Anyway, so this brand right here, it is in DC area right now.
Okay.
They haven't made it their way to the west side of the country. West Coast. But I will be part of the team to roll it out to the side of the country.
So they might be making a stop in Gilbert, Arizona.
Correct.
Okay.
So I've been told in a couple weeks, the head of this company might be visiting my shop. So,
okay.
So, cause he's interested in my cocktails as well. So
that's cool. So you'll have everything that you'll need in order to really roll this out.
Correct. I just need at the end of the day, I just need the license.
I was going to ask you, what are the hurdles involved in getting there?
It's not that bad.
Okay.
I looked into it. Yes. The initial, it is expensive. You know, there's
cost.
There's cost. But after that, the repeat of renewing your license is not too bad. It's the initial.
It's the initial.
And the education.
Okay.
At the end of the day, I have to make sure you're 21 and above, right? Just the stuff like that. I can't. And it's dangerous, right? If someone were to over pour their drink, and then it becomes my liability.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So getting back to, you know, kid safe place, you know, it's a kid environment. I'm not asking for customers to get bombed. It's just a drink or two, right? Parents can have their beverage, then kids could have their dessert, right? How many times can you say you went to an ice cream shop where adults had their fix and then kids had theirs? So I'm trying to bring families together. That's my whole initiative about Frost Tales, is trying to bring everybody together.
So cool.
That's an awesome concept.
It is. Yeah. That's great. So other challenges you've run into, one maybe being the obvious, I know we already kind of talked a little bit about this, but being a minority in business in Gilbert, Arizona, how's that experience gone for you so far?
Well, anyone that knows Gilbert is very white. I think I can say that because, you know, I grew up in America.
You can say that.
Yeah. It is hard, right? At the end of the day.
Because you said it was a little challenging with the...
Yeah, just getting an opportunity
in other places.
Right? Look at sushi restaurants that are the big sushi restaurants. They're not generally owned by Asians, right? A little hole in the wall are owned by Asians. But if you want to be in a flashy shopping center, it's not owned by an Asian, right? Yeah. Also, you know, being a minority, I will always be a minority. I don't care if I was born here. Right? That's one thing I started to learn too as I got older.
Okay.
No matter what my citizenship says, I will always be Asian, Korean.
Interesting.
That's just okay. Me. That'll follow me all along. Mm-hmm. On a sad note, I still get made fun of in my shop being Korean or Asian. Hmm. The other day, I had someone ask me, I don't want Korean coffee. Can I get American coffee?
In your shop?
In my shop. Yes, this was a grown man.
And how did you respond to this?
Normally, I have a pretty good comeback, but I was not expecting that because there's no American coffee.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. America does not grow coffee beans. So, you know. And then when I just gave him the blank space, he just looks at me and goes, I'm not racist. And I'm like, you literally just said you were racist. So
you did.
Yeah, the fact that he doesn't want Korean coffee.
I would love to try Korean coffee. I don't know about you.
Coffee of any kind.
Yeah. But that's, you know, that's being a minority.
It's just ignorant. One of the struggles. Just ignorant. Yeah. Okay.
And that's fine. You know.
Okay, anybody else that's listening to this show right now that might be a minority, what advice could you give them on
those hurdles?
Yeah.
Don't let it get to you.
Okay.
Right.
Like how do you, you know, what have you done to push through it? How do you...
Just... roll with it. You have to, right? There's another tenant in my shopping complex. He's a minority as well. And so we've become really good friends in the shopping center. He comes by all the time and we talk about it. I go, look, I flip it the other way. The fact that we're minorities and able to have a business in Gilbert in a new shopping center, that's a win, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You look, a lot of minorities, where are it they is. At? Mesa, right? A lot of them. Dingy, old shopping center, nothing flashy, nothing wrong with it. But as a business owner, you want to be in the cool, hip spot, mm-hmm. right? Downtown Gilbert, right? Verde, Cooley Station area, Santan Mall.
Yeah, when you said Cooley Station, I one of the first thoughts in my mind was, oh, that's really cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so to be a minority, we're a win, right? Regardless if my business goes out of business in a couple of years or it flourishes, the fact that I was able to open up a shop, and same with him, the fact that he was able to open up a shop, and it's a win for us. So you just have to keep plugging away. And it's hard. You know, a lot of people that know me think it's easy and I make it look easy, but it's not.
I think you do to a certain extent, just because I've known you for so long. Yeah. I think you do, because you let things roll off your back pretty easily. Yeah. But certain things will bother you.
Correct. And a lot of things do bother me, right?
Well, you're human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but you can't.
But I could see how maybe even some of your peers have said like, oh, Albert, you make it look so simple.
I do.
You make it look like anybody could do it.
And I do, right? Because if you make it look like it's hard.
You have a kind of a poker face. Like not during this show, but generally speaking, I would say that you do kind of carry a poker face.
Correct.
And I think that probably bodes well when you're in business.
Correct.
To some extent.
Mm-hmm. You have to.
To not let them see, you know, everything you on your sleeve, you know.
Because when you see that from, say, an investor standpoint or your landlord, then that kind of turns it the wrong way, mm-hmm. right? That gives them a bad vibe. So you have to act like you've been there before. And my thing is always act like you're a big company, but you're a small company. So even the bankers that I deal with, they're the big banks. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with,
you know. So where did you get that from?
Just always act big. Okay. Act like you've been there before.
Like, did your parents teach that, or was that grandparents?
I think just being turned down so much.
Oh, okay. Just the adversity of...
Correct.
rejection.
Yeah. So that's what I, that's one of the biggest advices I give is always act like you own a big company. I mean, don't be obnoxious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But feel like you can roll with the big companies, right? Even me going after these big companies in Korea, we're talking these top five companies in the Korea.
Yep.
They're huge. And then the fact that I'm able to talk to them, right? I mean, that's a win. And all I did, you know what I did? I just picked up the phone.
It's a huge win.
Hey, I'm trying to do this. What do you think? Sure, let's give it a shot. But people are scared. I don't want to work with this bank. They're going to turn me down. My biggest banker, my biggest bank that lent me money to expand my dry cleaning business was Chase Bank. And I went through over 30 banks.
Wow.
Credit unions. I mean,
wait, before you got to Chase and got the finance?
Because I always thought, oh, Chase is too big. They don't want to lend me money. So I've done Comerica, right?
M&F but are Bank. They more, you know, like was Chase more, I don't know, more open?
I think, well, take it back a little. So it's about your banker as well. Your banker is more important. But what my story is, don't be afraid of the big bank. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of the big bank.
Okay.
Because you hear, oh, they only want to work with $100 million accounts. Mm-hmm. They want to work with all the big boys, right?
It just takes the right person to see the potential.
Yeah.
And want to.
Correct.
Regardless of the bank that they're at.
Yeah. So that would be the better explanation. But also it's the fact that everybody wants to knock down the big banks, right? Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, and Bank of America. I bank at Chase and Bank of America.
Yeah.
So just kind of sticking up for them, you know? So,
well, they're being good to you. You should.
Yeah. And they have been, you know? So there's always a good story to even these bigger banks. Everyone thinks the big banks are, you know, big and mighty and trying to take everything, but it just shows there's a good story that they've been there for me at the hardest times.
That's so, great advice.
So small business today, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you see yourself in multiple locations? Like, where do we go from here?
Getting back to why I wanted to get into Frosthills, dry cleaning business, I can only grow so big. It's very personal. We're talking, I'm dealing with people's precious clothes.
Yep.
Especially my clientele. We have customers that drop off $5,000 suit jackets, not a two-piece suit, just one single jacket. You mess that up, there goes a ton of money. Mm-hmm. So I can't grow that. I can't have just employees rely on that. So I wanted to start a business that I can grow, never franchise it, but grow it out. So that's why Frost Sales was a thing. And my ambitious plan is hopefully, you know, 5 years or 10 years, how long it takes, it'd be nice to have multiple locations, make a drive-through out of it.
That would be cool.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, besides Panda, not too many Asian-owned drive-through businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is.
It's true.
Mom and pop, you got to walk in, right? But American stuff, it's all drive through, especially in Arizona. Everything's a drive through, right? You want a sandwich? Drive through.
Yep.
You know, I'm surprised Subway doesn't have a drive through. You know.
I know. Yeah.
Or everything. Jimmy John's. Right? Yeah. Panera Bread has a drive through.
Yeah.
You know, it's everything.
That's right. Even Panera does.
Yeah. So that's where my mindset is. I always look at what the big companies are doing. Mm-hmm. So getting back to like act like you're a big company.
Yeah.
They did all the research. I don't need to go pay someone to do some R&D.
Just mimic it.
Mm-hmm. So if you walk into my shop, it looks like a Starbucks with a Chipotle menu. So I, yes, there's some creativity to it, but I just look at what they do, what works. Right? Chipotle does well, In-N-Out does well, Starbucks does well. All those companies, they do well for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, you want to have your own unique flavor, but correct. Why try to recreate the entire
wheel? Yeah. That takes too much effort.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of massage it to how you want to do it. And for me, it was to do 100% Korean ingredients. So the snow powders and the sauces and syrups, those I import directly myself. I literally handle all the
logistics. Well, even the machines too, right? Yeah, like your snow machines are all from Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a legitimate experience. Yes. And everybody needs to check it out. Key takeaways from this conversation. What do you think? I'm going to say, don't give up on your idea. Like, I mean, if you started having your idea, you know, and plans in place for this concept back in 2007, and then it's just now coming to fruition or in the last 2 years, like, what a great message.
Yeah, just be patient. That's my biggest thing is be patient and have money. It sounds horrible, but even in my shopping center, I've seen tenants get evicted because they didn't have money for construction.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Right. It takes a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I've been very fortunate. My dry cleaners, I can say now, I was netting over $250,000 a year out of one location.
Netting.
Yeah, netting. Not grossing.
Not
netting.
Grossing, yeah.
That's a lot of money. So I took that, right? That's how I was able to enjoy my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I still do. So then I sold my business.
Well, you had several properties going as well, right?
Yeah, so, well, that's my side. that's my retirement fund. So yeah, I mean, I set myself up well, right? So this business, luckily, I haven't had to tap into my savings or my reserves or my line of credit, nothing. Literally been revolving.
It's cash flow. It's just cash flowing.
Correct.
Even if it's at zero 1 month or something. Yeah. Okay.
So I haven't had to borrow money from one account to another.
Okay.
That's how I look at if I'm doing well, right? If I don't have to borrow money, but every business that I know is borrowing money from, you know, their parents or their grandparents, don't. It's hard when you do it that way.
Yeah. Like if you can't make it with your
own money
and cash flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's a franchise, a proven model, and I've seen this time and time, I'm against franchises. They suck the heck out of you. Hmm. Right? Because they take a fee and then they take a fee off your gross. So you're losing money. You know, and then they want you to grow out three businesses at one or three locations. So just, you got to have money. It's like I said, it sounds terrible, but that is your ultimate thing.
Well, and that's part of being patient, right? Is not just the learning experiences up until you finally feel like you're ready and you've got the plan in place, but you've been saving intentionally all the way along and you're ready to go. You've got the capital base to weather the startup, right?
And then also you don't have to roll everything out at once.
Yeah.
Right, like in me.
Phase it out.
Right. So, okay, this month I made a little money, so I'll reinvest it. Right. Reinvest it again. So if you were to see my Instagram profile for my business, if you were to look at from the beginning to now, I've gotten better. My menu's gotten bigger, but I've had all the ingredients there. I just didn't provide it out. Mm. And what I've been telling customers too, because now, oh, you have more items. Well, yes, I've always had it, but I wasn't proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, at the end of the day, you're paying me to make you something. So it should be the best. But a lot of businesses or concepts don't get that. They're paying you to cook you food. And generally, they're just like, oh, whatever. I'm not into that. Yeah. You're paying me to make your coffee. You're paying me to make your dessert. It better be the best.
That's so great.
And so people appreciate that. And that's awesome. My message on that is, if you're getting into a business, whether if you're a plumber or a mortgage broker or whatever, right, make sure you're doing the best. Because it doesn't matter if you're a plumber or, you know, Frostell's owner or whatever. If you're the best of the best, you're going to make money. So just be the best and use the best, right? Everything. So same with me, the ingredients, my personality, even my employees, I show them just be the best you can be and people will see that. And then you'll be fine.
That's awesome.
That's so great.
Yeah. Well, Albert, thank you so much
for
taking some time to spend with us. Tell our listeners again where Frostell's is.
Okay. So Frostell's is on the southwest corner of Williamsfield and Wrecker Road. It's in a Cooley shopping center. You can just Google Frostails, Frostails.
Yep.
We're all over Google, Yelp, whatever.
Instagram at Frostails.
Correct. Yeah. Awesome. So literally you can just Google it. We'll pop right up. Nothing else will pop up with that name. So you can't miss it. Yes, I'm on TikTok too. So
that's awesome.
We're all over social media.
Well, we'll have all of your links down in the description for the video so that everybody knows how to reach you and follow you. And thanks again for being an awesome guest and telling us your story, how you got to where you are.
Yeah, no, I appreciate this. I think, as I mentioned before, probably 5 years ago, I didn't really consider myself an entrepreneur. But as, you know, people such
you
as yourself,
did not.
I did not.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Because to me, it was just another business, right? Hmm. Dry cleaning is dry cleaning. Oh, another Bing Sue business, right? And I started to realize people such as yourself, my customers and other entrepreneurs, like, no, they're like, you're an entrepreneur. You're building something from scratch. Even your Frostails, you did all the architect work. You did all the construction. You did everything.
And what you don't see, and I think Brian and I can relate to this, what we don't see is all the people that they're looking up to you because of what you've done, what you've accomplished. And now you've got the ability to speak into their lives,
mm-hmm. Yes,
like from experience. And that's really, really why we were so excited to have you on the show today. So Albert, thank you again.
Yeah.
You've been an awesome guest.
Thank you, guys.